When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You can always tell when Cam's producing it. What's up, Cam?
Cam, my guy. He had a rough day the other day. You know, it's Sunday. We're like, Cam, where's Cam? We're going to come back, right? Cam was running down the street chasing a tow truck on Sunday. You know, you don't get towed on Sunday. They had his truck hitched. They had his whip hitched up. They were dragging his car. Sam turn on the 404s, turning the Carl Lewis, chasing the guy down. He's like, it's Sunday. Why are you towing me? This is a true story. No lie.
Cam, you were producing at the time?
Yeah, I was producing. So the only reason I had to go down to my car was because I had to get my water. I left my water down there feeling dehydrated.
Right.
And I wouldn't have known that was happening if I didn't forget anything in my car. And then once all that happened, they were saying, oh, we're just moving it down, you know, because there was an emergency that happened. So they needed to move it down, not seeing where they were putting it. So I came back up, did the rest of the shift before the Niner game. I go back down. The car's nowhere. It's nowhere to be found. And so I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? So I had to call and find out, and they said they took it down to the lot, and I'm like, are you serious? But I didn't have to pay anything to get it out.
They did take it to the lot?
Yeah, they took it to the lot. I had to pay for an Uber to get down there.
But wait, so they towed your car. They initially were going to tow your car just a few hundred yards or 100 yards or 50 feet away just to make room for whatever it is that they were doing on the street out here in Kearney.
Yeah.
Well, that's your first mistake. Never let them hitch. Listen, tow trucks never are, there's no good intentions with those people.
Yeah.
Like, you never let them hit. Just say, you know what you do? It's like, I'll drive it. How far are we going? We're going 30 feet. Give me the keys. I'll go there.
Yeah.
So you thought your car, but you walked out. You're like, did I park here? My car got stolen. You didn't know, because you know it was free on Sundays.
Yeah. It was free on Sundays. And then I seen all the cones. I seen all the stuff going on. My car was gone. I'm like, what is going on over here? But then as I looked down the corner, I'm like, oh, I see it. But he was just trying to find somewhere to park it. But I guess from his angle, from how big the truck was and the spot that was wide open, there wasn't space for him to take it. So then I ran back up here, and then I seen Evan in the studio trying to bring everyone back. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to assume that they're getting it right, but never did. So after that, after the show, I went back out there. It was gone. So right before the Niner game, I had to go get the car. Steven was here starting the Niner cuts and doing all that good stuff, but I had to go get it and then come right back.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. If there's some way, Cam, that you want to produce from the show, from your rig, just so this doesn't happen, man, Lo and I are down. That's some crazy stuff. Well, Sundays, they do tow. They didn't. Okay, so the sign, it says no towing on Sunday.
Yep.
Well, they do tow in the city, though. I haven't been victimized by a tow, but I've gotten a ticket in the city.
Oh.
So it used to be back in the day, Sundays, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't.
Sabbath day.
You don't mess with Sundays.
You don't mess with Sunday.
That's not the case anymore. This ain't Clovis. Clovis, California, by the way, the home of Lo Neal. The biggest, is it fair to say the biggest high school football game in the state might be Clovis West? Or is there something in SoCal that I'm not aware of?
No, that's a big Valley game. But it's always going in certain, so it depends on where you're at. If you're Clovis, Fresno, that's what a big game. If you're in, like, Viosaya, it's Redwood and Mount Whitney. If you're in Kings County, it's Hanford and Lemoore, the Bulldogs against the Tigers. That's been a rival for years. So there's always those rivals in these little crosstown rivals. Big.
You know, I wanted to get the name. No, not Adrian Martinez. There was a kid back in the day who played at Clovis West. He was a quarterback. He was with Tennessee. Ran the option.
Billy Volek?
Yeah, Billy Volek.
Billy Volek, baby. Come on, Billy's his dad was Fresno City coach. Coach Volek.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
that's
come Falcons. On, baby. The that's Falcons. Right. Yes, that's yes. Right, man. Billy Volek and I played together when he was Charger. Billy Volek was.
We came up with, who did he come up with?
Billy came with Tennessee, like you said.
With Tennessee.
But when Phillip got hurt, Billy Volek came and won the game for us, won a playoff game. Guys on the team wanted coaches to stay with Billy because Phillip's knee was, you know, trying to go out there and play with the known MCL. They had did a surgery. Billy Volek, man, was throwing dimes. He did that in Tennessee as well. Great backup quarterback, played forever.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh, Billy Volek, baby.
I got Fresno knowledge.
You got Fresno knowledge.
I will be here for days, man. I've had a drink or two at the Elbow Room back in the day, man.
The Elbow Room.
Yeah, I know.
That place is still going strong.
Is it?
Oh, clam chowder on Fridays, the chowder. Oh, get down. Get back.
You went there with the Tarkanian. You're already in the
Tark
NFL.
Tark the Shark. Come on. Tark the Shark. We go way back, baby. Come on. Danny Tarkanian. I'd hang out with Danny. Danny's freaking now living in Vegas.
Is he still in politics?
He's still in politics.
Is he really?
Eddie's going strong.
Wow.
Yeah, in politics. But yeah, Tark the Shark was great, man.
For those of you, by the way, Cam, you ever spent time out in Fresno?
Armenian, big Armenian.
Oh, hell yeah.
Big Armenian culture.
You have? Yeah, it is. So I'm from big cities. I'm from San Francisco. My first on-air job right out of college was to go out to Fresno. And I remember going like, Fresno? Really, Fresno? You go there.
You were shook. You were surprised.
It's different.
Different.
Because they can't claim SoCal. They can't claim the Bay Area. They got their own thing going on. They got this Armenian mafia going on out there, man.
Wait, you used to hang out with the Tarkanian. You used to hang out with
the Tarkanians.
You used to hang out with the...
Can we say his name?
Yeah, Vartane, baby.
The Vartanians. No. Suddenly we're under FBI surveillance. But yeah, I mean, it was unlike any other place I've ever been. And it's an awesome community, man. It really is. So anyways, all right.
Okay, let's go back to Sam I Am. Sam Darnold, you struck a nerve. I can't believe you just start reaching in your bags and you pull this out, Dan, because I'm telling you, what you pulled out is gold. When you think about, and I'd love to hit people to hit the text line or call in and tell what you think, because when you think about these two quarterbacks, one, you're talking about a guy that has no limitations. You're talking about a guy that has some limitations. What's better served? I know Brock can scramble better. Brock probably can get out of trouble better, so how much money will you have then to get a better offensive line? Brock probably can run play action, boot better, do certain those things, but a lot of things.
It's not like Sam Darnold is completely immobile.
Right. He can move. And you see now he's just subtle. And you see he can make every throw. Oof. The confidence that he's playing with, the swag and the bravado. Hit the text line. Who would you rather have? If all things right now, if you look at these two quarterbacks, who do you think's a better quarterback in the National Football League?
I'll open it up. I never do these things, but 888-957-9570. Who do you want? If Sam Darnold is out there and you can get him, I don't know,
$10 million cheaper?
$15 million cheaper? Or do you want Brock Purdy? Because I think there's a lot of people that still feel as though the Sam Darnold in New York, the Sam Darnold in Carolina, seeing ghosts, is still ruminating. And there's still some people that are having a hard time pulling the trigger on the guy. I'm wondering if those people are out there. I've seen it up this year. And Kyle Shanahan validated all of that when he said, I want this guy. And there's a reason.
Winners.
Yeah.
You know, it lends to a bigger point. Because I think Sam Darnold, here's a question for you. Is Sam Darnold just the outlier? Like, Sam Darnold is one of one. Like, that'll happen every 25 years. Or is there a trend where we're so quick to judge because these guys, we got to
know. Throw them away.
Got to know by year two,
yeah,
year three. And now you're seeing, I mean, they gave up on Jared Goff. They gave up on Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
You know, you gave up, obviously, on Darnold.
Mm.
I know people. Geno Smith. And I know people are going to go, come on, man. But I'm telling you, like, I don't know that we've seen the last of Daniel Jones. I don't know that we've seen the last of Zach Wilson. Now, I know a lot of people, especially in New York, are saying, dude, miss me with that. But this idea that this rush to judgment, especially for players in bad systems
that's
that were highly drafted, high draft picks in the top five. Sam Darnold was number three. Zach Wilson, I believe, was two or three. That these guys come into a situation where it's like, there's a book I used to read when I was a kid. It's like, are you my mommy? Are you? And then you meet Kyle Shanahan. It's like, I'm your mommy. I'm going to teach you how to do these
things. I read that. It was a cute book. Oh, my goodness. He's going to the bird, the elephant. Are you my mommy? Yeah. Are you my mommy? And that's what Sam Darnold's like. Are you my daddy? Kyle Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan's like, yes, I'm your daddy.
Are you my daddy? Might be another version. That might be the lower version. I'm trying to keep it
who's
PG.
Okay, sorry. Too soon. No, I wasn't going there. But no, you're absolutely right. Sam Darnold came to the Niners, broken. You think about his standing with the Jets. He tried. Everyone said, you got to carry him, and he failed. You take him to Carolina. You see what happened. This guy still, he competed. He played hard as he could. Didn't have the support around him, and he failed. You look at the Carolina Panthers today. You think about the quarterback. Everyone said, this rookie, they put too much money.
Bryce Young.
You said, this is the stupidest thing they could have did. He's done. He's shot. You put in Andy Dalton, the redhead pistol, showed him how to practice, showed him how to be a thing, took control of the offense, took control, and the redhead pistol, Andy Dalton, put him under his wing, and now he pushed this kid to the edge, took him to the top of the mountain,
he's good.
And he pushed him, and now the kid's flying. He is playing, I think, even though they're losing, they're the most, I had a question, who's the worst team in the NFL, but probably playing the best, and if you talked about quarterback, I would say that kid. I'd say if you watch what he's been doing the last several weeks after that stint of benching him, everyone said he's done, get Andy Dalton in there and have Andy show this guy the way. This guy now is playing and throwing the ball. He's throwing dimes. He's showing very, very seen so much upside. He is going to be a fine quarterback. But 10 weeks ago, everyone said this kid is done.
I'm reading the text line, and there are more people that are out on Sam Darnold, which is fine. And okay. I knew it. A lot of people that have reservations about him.
Yeah.
That Zucci Man, where you been, brother? Zucci Man on the text line. Call us sometime. There's a lot of people that just feel the guy's got, you know, there's too much in his past that you can't move past that. I get it. I totally understand it. And people are still, and let's not forget, Brock Purdy is a good quarterback.
Great quarterback. Good. He's above average quarterback. But my question to the people out there, I'd rather have Brock too. But it's $50 million compared to $30 million. Does that move the needle? And for me, Sam Darnold can throw. You don't think he can throw the long ball? He can see if you're deficient with your line. If the pocket falls back in his face, he still can steal over and he still can get rid of the ball and throw the long ball. Brock Purdy, yes, is way more mobile and maybe he'll hit the first read. He's not going to take as much chances. But Sam Darnold has shown, and that's why Kyle Shanahan brought him here, that he could play and play on a high level. You look at his record, what he's doing. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Minnesota with having weapons, the guy is playing at a very, very high level.
So the text line, this is the 415, that $10 to $50 million that you would save, the Niners, you'd save that with Darnold, still won't get you over the top. Stick with Purdy and draft some better O and D linemen. So again, some people still believe in Brock Purdy. I think if you were to line them up side by side, and I'm starting a franchise, I'm an expansion, and I'm starting a new football team, I'm sorry, Sam Darnold is going to be my quarterback. The argument as to why Brock Purdy would supplant Sam Darnold, to me, it's a good one. But at the end of the day, I want a guy who could do the same things from a cerebral standpoint, because that's why Kyle Shanahan covets these guys. It's like Kyle Shanahan's like, I would like to have Josh Allen. I'd love to have Patrick Mahomes. But if I can get a guy that can just manage my offense, that knows where to go with the football, that is accurate, that can get me in and out, I can win with that. Leave it up to me because I have enough confidence and schematically to put you in positions where if you're accurate, two things are going to happen. We're going to win and you're going to make some money. Just listen to me. He doesn't need necessarily the guy who can roll right and throw it back 65 yards across his body. And so I think that Sam Darnold has that from an intellectual standpoint, but then you just cannot deny 6'5".
I'm going to go out on a limb. And here's the deal. I think far as you said human beings, Kyle Shanahan would say, you know what, I'm taking Purdy. He's my guy. Love him. I'd rather him maybe marry my daughter. I don't know. I'm just saying Kyle Shanahan would be all in with Purdy. Talking about just a good person, good nature, Kyle Shanahan would never turn his back. But if you said, hey, look, I need you to make a tough decision. If you had to take one of these guys and your career really depended on this, I don't think he would want to answer it. I think his heart would be with Purdy, but far as football and far as where he thinks potential we could be, I think he would take Sam. And here's it wouldn't be a slight to Purdy. Think about when Kyle Shanahan went to the Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons. Who was the quarterback?
Say it again. I was looking.
I said, think about when Kyle Shanahan went to the Super Bowl with the NFL, and how tall was he, yeah. And what could he do?
Exactly.
He and so that's the things that we're talking about. We're talking about
that's
the
a good comp with Sam Darnold.
Yes,
think about that.
Yes, and that's the unmutables that people are saying. Now what Kyle Shanahan loves about Purdy, he's a little train that think I can. His heart, his determination, his ability to listen. His ability just to soak it in and beat you because of his skills, because he knows, you know, maybe he'd be lacking in another part, so I got to make up for it. That's what Kyle Shanahan, his grit, his determination. Those are the things that you can't put measurables on.
Let's get out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Coach Duran, let's get it going here today, Coach. What do you think? Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy, where are you at?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Merry Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas.
Right now, man, if I have to choose Purdy or Darnold currently at this very moment. I'm going with Darnold. I think he is legit, elite. His arm is strong, terrific accuracy, and he's been playing some pretty good football. So I'm going to go with Darnold on this conversation.
Thanks so much, Coach. Good job. Appreciate it. I'm telling you, man, we're going to start it here first. We're going to
Hey, you got this thing rolling.
Well, here's the thing, though. Are we a little premature? Because you know what they say. It's like we get into December and January is really when you separate the men from the boys. So, Sammy, what do you got? Like, everything's in front of him now, right? Do you go in as a high seed? You potentially could be the number one seed. Do we have to hold? Have you seen enough if Brock Purdy is underwhelming in the postseason to still arrive at the conclusion that you want him instead of Brock Purdy, or are you going to hold your breath to see how this plays out?
It's interesting that you bring this up and you say, what makes me now say that Sam Darnold, and here's the, I like Brock, and I would like him for the same reasons that Kyle Shanahan, his toughness, his grit, his determination, his willingness to want to learn, his willingness to just like, everyone looks at this guy and says, I'm a following because he's all in. His commitment, you watch the way that he's Joe Montana. That's why they want to compare him to Joe, because he's not Joe yet, but just how he came onto the scene and just took it, grabbed the bull by the horns, and he seized it. But only reason I like Sam to me right now, they went head-to-head earlier this year. You saw them getting a shootout. You saw that Darnold had to make plays. You talked about a play. It's first down and 10 on the 90 on the 1 yard line, and you saw him throw a ball 65 yards in the air. You saw this
flick of the wrist.
You saw this game seesaw go back and forth, and Sam Darnold had to outplay Brock Purdy, and it was a good game, but he made more plays.
He made more plays, and it's not only just hitting Justin Jefferson in stride for a 99-yard touchdown, which he's doing. Not 99 yards, but hitting Justin Jefferson. Oh, man, did you see the game winner he had against Seattle?
That's what I'm saying.
Where he stepped up in the pocket, and he hits Jefferson. And that's like, at Seattle, you need to make that throw to win the game to get the hell out of here. Yes. I mean, he's checking some boxes.
He's checking a lot of boxes, and Seattle had everything to play for. Seattle wanted that win. That was a big-time game. We've seen this guy, Sam, take it on the road, win at home. Sam Darnold has played very well, and when he's had to play in big moments, just like golf. Golf was a guy, like you talked about earlier, was just left for dead. The Rams traded him. They said, oh, whatever. Look at Goff reinsurgent, because they believe, and you put him in the right system, and look at Jeff Goff now and what he's been able to do.
I'm waiting for someone just to crush us about this Sam Darnold. Uh-oh, I think we got somebody. Okay, thanks. So Cam went out and found somebody. Thanks, Cam. Sundance.
Sundance kid.
What's up, Sundance? Sundance, you're on.
Hello? Sundance. Telmo?
Oh, Slow-mo. Where did I see Sundance?
Telmo. Telmo. T-E-L-M-O.
Well, we got you at Slow-mo.
Telmo. Tell us more.
Oh, Telmo. Telmo's a regular.
Tell us more, Telmo.
Sorry, Tel.
Fellas, what are we doing here? You guys are 16-year-old kids with TikTok. You guys, this is so much recency bias. Are you guys forgetting Sam Darnold, what we watched from him other than this year? And you said it before. You said it yourself. Sam Darnold in Minnesota, with the weapons he has, he's having a good year. Okay. And so you're comparing Brock Purdy to Sam Darnold this season based off of the squads and the rosters they've had, with the different things, the different conditions, the different circumstances, the different roster of players. Are you guys forgetting what Brock Purdy did in his first 2 years with a healthy roster, literally one missed blocking assignment away from winning a Super Bowl last season? Okay, here's the thing, and you act like Sam Darnold, the Niners can just go get him. You don't think the Niners are going to have to bid with the Raiders or some of these other teams that need a quarterback? The Raiders just played out of getting Shedeur Sanders, so they're going to need a quarterback. And so this is just silly. Brock's not going to get $60 million. He's going to go between $45 and $50 million. It's going to be a good deal for the 49ers for the long term quarterback. The Niners had Sam Darnold in the building last year. They could have chose to keep him. They could have chose to sign him and make him their quarterback, and they didn't, because they know what they have in Brock Purdy. So all this, we're looking at this from what Sam Darnold has done for one season versus all the other football we watched him play versus Brock this season, where he's still top 10 in a lot of categories, by the way. And we're doing this whole song and dance. Sam Darnold, first of all, there's no guarantee you're going to get him. Brock's the future of the 49ers. I don't want to keep doing this quarterback, hold down, pass it around, round and around, circle with your partner, go and go. I want a quarterback for the future. So you guys, I appreciate you have a take.
Hey, hold on. Don't,
Brian Baldy, Baldy came with this hot take. This is a Baldy hot take.
Tell them, hold on. I am hand on the Bible. Had no idea. I don't listen to Baldinger. I had no idea what it is that he said. I swear to you, this is not being influenced by anyone else other than Dan the Kahuna DeVone. So this is not sort of okay, on the heels of Baldy.
Baldy came with this take. I think on Monday or Tuesday on I think it was the roast with Monte and Shasky. If maybe it was with Steiny and Guru, I don't know. But it was early in the week. It started this whole snowball of nonsense. I could see it, but we're talking about one season versus one season, completely different circumstances versus what we've seen from each quarterback in the past. And you guys, quickly, and I'll let you go.
Lowe wants you on the horn.
You guys talked about Drew Brees. Hold on. You guys talked about Drew Brees. Look at Drew Brees' first 4 or 5 years in the league. He wasn't the Drew Brees he became to be. He got traded. He got traded from the Chargers, and he had to go somewhere else to be the Drew Brees that we all came to know and love.
Ooh, he's so walking into the line.
It's about the Niners need what they need is an O-line. They need dogs in the trenches. They need to protect their quarterback. They need to give him time. And in terms of, we keep talking about Brock Purdy and his arm. Look at how many catches that Ayuk had last year versus how many yards. He had 1,400 and some yards and only 70-some catches. So I don't want to hear he can't throw the deep ball, because up until early in this season, he was leading the league in passes of 40 yards or more.
Question.
So we need to stop with the nonsense. We need to give him weapons. We need to get healthy. And Brock Purdy's the future of the San Francisco
49ers. Boy,
I'll take your call.
No. We want you on the horn. Stay right there.
I had a question for you. So I think you left. I agree to disagree. Great call, by the way.
Yeah, no, I love that.
But I think what we fail to realize.
We're gonna bring it to.
You look at.
Oh, you know, we got to get to a break.
Do we got to get to a break? Oh, I was getting ready to bring it. Okay.
Why don't you get on the other side.
No, we get on the side.
Tease it a little bit.
On the other side.
We got other callers. The rest of the callers, just hang out. I'm telling you, it's going to be a quick break. We're going to get back. We'll continue the conversation. Lowe is going to tell you. Well, I don't know what the hell he's going to talk about.
I'm coming at my man who just got the call.
Yeah, Telmo, wherever you are.
Telmo, I'm coming for you, Telmo. I'm coming for you.
And the rest of the callers, hang on. We got to pay some bills. Back in 90 seconds on 95.7 The Game.
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Kim, is that how you roll down in the East Bay with that bass? Just thumping?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. That's how I got to be moving and grooving.
You be thugging hard, baby. I feel you, baby.
Yes,
let them know. Let them know you represent, homie. Let them know.
You know, I just mentioned this not tongue in cheek. There's a level of seriousness to at least consider the Sam Darnold potentially coming to the San Francisco 49ers. Now, a lot of things have to happen between now and then. But I think it's struck a nerve, struck a chord with some of the fans.
Yeah.
Some think they're on board. I would say the majority are not. I think a lot of people like that of Telmo bring up his past and saying it's only 1 year. He has better weapons, and it doesn't make sense for San Francisco. They need to invest in offensive and defensive linemen, which is certainly true. But just sort of your thoughts on what it is that Telmo had to say.
Yeah, I thought Telmo made some great points, but I don't know if they're valid because of the fact, if you just go through the history, what did everyone say if Jimmy G would have made that pass in the end zone where he missed the receiver?
Emmanuel Sanders.
They said, hey, guess what? They win a Super Bowl. Couldn't make it. But everyone said Jimmy G went 13-3 or 13-2. Jimmy G carried him, but they did that with Jimmy G. So where my man Telmo is saying, look at all the weapons the 49ers have had. Jimmy G was an below average quarterback for the National Football League, and look what happened. Because he had a defense and because they had all the run game, the way that team played. So when he's saying that, what did Sam Darnold have? What did he have with the Jets? What did he have when he freaking in Carolina? Look at the coaching. Look at the stuff. So Sam Darnold has been in a tough situation wasn't given the toolage that Aaron Rodgers was given because he had friggin' the great, great Hall of Famer, you know, Brett Favre. You look at now, looking about Aaron Rodgers, who he trained now. So there's been a process for certain quarterbacks. So when Telmo was saying, oh, look at Darnold, he got weapons this year, but think about what he's had in the past. So when we're talking about Brock Purdy, and now he's saying, well, Brock doesn't have the weapons. Well, did Brock elevate the team? Brock doesn't have the weapons. Is Brock in the playoffs? Brock doesn't have the weapons. Is Brock the, so it's so you can't make it fit for just your narrative. I call that hypocrisy when you see, okay, when he had all the weapons, when Jimmy G had all the weapons, look at, you know, how far did it go? Now all of a sudden he doesn't, and they're not in. You don't blame it just on the quarterback, but it's interesting when they're having success. The quarterback's 14-2. This team is this record because of the quarterback. But now all of a sudden, when it's not success, it's not his fault. So make it make sense to me, because last I've seen Brock Purdy, if you said, would you rather have Minnesota's weapons this year or the Niners' weapons when they were healthy, who would have the better skill positions? By far, it's the Niners. You're not going to take the running backs in Minnesota over McCaffrey. You're not going to take the tight end over George Kittle. Collectively, the Niners, when they're great receivers these last 4 or 5 years, the accumulation of receivers is, you know, Jefferson is the best. I get that, you know, but you can't say that the Niners collectively didn't have better positions at a skill level.
Yeah, and also Telmo said that you have to look back at their track history. And certainly there's no denying Sam Darnold was bad. I would also keep in mind that Adam Gase, in one of the strangest introductory press conferences, was the head coach of the New York Jets. You talk about a bad situation for a young quarterback. Then he goes to Carolina with Matt Rhule. It's going from bad to worse. And I think that you do have to take into account, when he was so bad in his brief NFL career, why is it that Kyle Shanahan, the quarterback guru, coveted this guy? And it wasn't just last year. He was somebody that he was thinking of instituting as the quarterback when they were in flux with Jimmy Garoppolo and the whole Trey Lance mess. He was thinking about bringing Sam Darnold in. And I think that you have to think about where you're at today as opposed to yesterday, Telmo. It's not about where Sam Darnold was 3 to 5 years ago. It's where Sam Darnold is at right now. It's a reclamation project, and we've seen this before in the NFL. And then when you talk about, well, the 49ers, I think this is another one of the arguments that he was making. It's not as though San Francisco isn't going to be in a bidding war with, I think you mentioned the Raiders, and certainly there's some other teams, and you had talked about this. Is Sam Darnold really going to go to Las Vegas for a couple of more million dollars?
No.
I mean, he
knows. He's familiar here.
He's not only familiar here, but Kevin O'Connell, keep in mind, Kevin O'Connell is from the same tree of that of Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
And learned, understand, it's the same, it's essentially what it is that Kyle Shanahan brought to the NFL. So there's a 6 degrees of separation. Kevin O'Connell and Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay are somewhat the same guy in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And so this idea that, no, I'm going to go somewhere else because they're giving me a better offer. I think that the Kyle Shanahan and the Sam Darnold relationship is real. And all I'm throwing out there, okay, maybe Sam Darnold isn't the guy. But if you're the 49ers and you're going into this offseason where you clearly have holes, don't you want a little leverage?
Absolutely.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying, okay, Brock, you know, I'd like to come. We want to reward you. But there is this piece out here that if we can't agree on a number, leverage is always good in anything you do, man. Right. Whether you're a contract negotiating in sports talk radio or sports talk radio, leverage is what it is that you want. And I would ask you, though, who has the leverage right now? In that conversation, now keep in mind, Brock Purdy played on the cheap, and he took you to an NFC Championship game, and he almost won you a Super Bowl. Yeah. And he did all that for, like, minimum wage.
Agreed.
Who has the leverage when they sit down and they talk shop, Brock Purdy or the 49ers?
49ers have a huge amount of leverage because of the fact you got to say, it's like, look, he can say, his agent, like, look, you didn't have this guy, we didn't have this guy, all these different things happened. And what happened, and all 49ers are going to say, yeah, so you want to be a franchise-paid quarterback. So we didn't have those guys. Did you elevate our team? See, that's why the 49ers, to me, have all the cards right now. They're going to do the right thing. Brock Purdy deserves to be paid. We're not saying
no
that he
doubt.
Doesn't. without a doubt. But if it doesn't work, you got to say, hey, look, go try the open market. If it's an offer out there for you, hey, blessings to you, because we know what you're, we don't want to hamstring you, but this is what we can pay. Because like you alluded to, guys say, oh, well, hey, this is what he was then. It's a reason why freaking you think about boxers. I love Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather fought Canelo when he was young. He didn't wait. He said, I'm going to hurry up and get this fight over. We had 10, 15 fights because he knew that he could outscore him because of the fact he knew that he wasn't a seasoned fighter. So he took it. So people change.
And waited to fight Pacquiao until Pacquiao was too old.
Exactly. but that's showmanship. That's gamesmanship. And now the Niners, they waited, unfortunately, that the Niners had a down year. Now you have control because you have all the leverage because the year that you were planning on having, it didn't happen. Yeah, there was a lot of things that went around, circumstances that you couldn't control. But if you were going to be an elite quarterback, even if you lost, and here's the deal. If your agent says, oh, but hey, we lost, but who? It's okay to lose, but it's the way you lost. It's okay to lose, but when you're a quarterback, you're Tom Brady. Guess what? You're still going to lose 30, 35. You're going to lose 40, 41. So when you don't have a lot of weapons and your defense have not played well, Marino, Miami Dolphins would be in every single game because they had a guy that could score. Dan Fouts, we talked about the Chargers. He's a guy that you knew that was going to score. You look at Brock and what he's been able to do. He hasn't been able to elevate this team when the team needed it most because of the fact they could score.
And all I would say to picking on poor Telmo, he was a caller about a half an hour ago, but there's a lot of people like Telmo, and it was a great call. Anybody who's got passion, man, we'll let you burn. You can play here.
Oh, yeah,
we got a platform here on 95.7 The Game. But what I would say to Telmo and all you 49er fans, again, it gets down to leverage, because what's the one thing, if I'm Brock Purdy's agent, I'm saying, okay, you don't want us? Well, who's going to play quarterback? Going to take you years to find somebody. You know, it could take generations when you think about Chicago and Cleveland and teams that go lifetimes looking for quarterbacks. Who's going to, Josh Dobbs going to be your quarterback? Brandon Allen going to be your quarterback? That's why if Sam Darnold makes sense financially, and maybe there's a level of risk if you want to bring up the Jets and what happened in Carolina, but having that ace up your sleeve when you have to sit down in this poker game with Brock Purdy and company is not a bad thing.
No.
So I guess I don't understand why potentially having Sam Darnold out there and knowing the relationship between the two, meaning Sam Darnold and Kyle Shanahan, that just benefits the 49ers as they try and lower that offer for Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, Brock Purdy is not going to ask for the house. I think that it's anywhere from 30 to 40.
I think they're going to want.
You think it's 50?
I think Brock Purdy, again, if you were to get him alone, he'd do this for 35, 40. Go get me some players.
Yeah.
But his agent's like, shh, don't talk right. to, like, you know of this, course, man. The course, agent's like, bro, I got this.
Of course.
And he's taking a percentage of that. What's exactly. the agent taking?
He's getting 3%.
3%.
Yeah, yeah. But and here's the deal. Brock deserves to be paid. And if you could, and look, if he could get it. If Brock Purdy made $70 million a year, I don't care.
Hell
I'm
yeah.
for him. I'd be like, hell yeah, go get it, Brock. I'm just telling you.
Because guess what? The 49ers can afford it at the end of the day.
Of
so
course.
It's not as though I'm defending the 49ers
right.
and that billion-dollar yeah. you know, money-making machine that's called the NFL.
Oh, yeah. They can afford it. You can move salaries. You just stretch it out. You extend it. You defer money. You could make it happen. I'm just saying, if you really want to stay competitive and do the things, because you do have salary cap and you do have things you have to do, you just don't overpay. That's all, and here's the deal. And if you can go get it, if Brock Purdy can go get the money on the open market, then I think the 49ers, it behooves them to say, go see what you can get on the open market. And my numbers, if it's 30 million, it's 40 million, it's 50 million, if it's 60 million, if it's 70 million, whatever their number is, you got to live with it. You can't play the Brandon Ayuk game anymore. You can't do these things where you got guys holding out and you're saying those things because you saw what it got you this year. It didn't mean that Ayuk came in and was tearing it up. Ayuk was struggling because they didn't have the chemistry. So this is a situation you don't want to play around. You want to try to get it done, but you need to say, here's our number. You don't get in a cat and mouse game. You're like, here's our number. This is where we're going. We're not going. And guess what? If you have to go another place, then you just got to do it because I just don't think it behooves the Niners to overpay and be stuck in a situation like the Dallas Cowboys, because I don't think Dak Prescott will see the light of day on the end of that contract, even though a lot of it's guaranteed.
Yeah, and it gets back to, again, when you just think about the recent mistakes that have happened in the NFL.
Right.
And I guess I just don't understand when people make the argument, well, it's his turn, and quarterbacks reset the market. That it's essentially, you're telling me, you're making an argument for inflation. It's just like, it's what you have to pay. Says who? Why do I want to do what it is that Jacksonville did? Why do I want to ball and chain myself to a contract that's guaranteed of upwards to $175 million when it's, I can see Jacksonville. I can see what happened to their franchise. I can see what Cleveland happened Brown. To Miami. I can see what happened to Cleveland. Like, what? That's a weak argument. It has to make sense in your house and your house only. And I guess for whatever reason, and he's going to get paid. And maybe I'm missing something here, that when you're next up and you're an NFL quarterback and the market dictates what the market dictates, then there's a gun to your head and you've got to pay it. And that, to me, if you were to really reset the market, you know who needs to reset the market? The 49ers. No, the 49ers, because everybody talks about the player resets the market, right?
Right.
Like, he can make $65 million. Brock Purdy just reset the quarterback market. How about the 49ers reset the quarterback market and saying, we're going to give you, they ended up paying 40 or 35. How many teams do you think that are dealing with contract extensions to look at the 49ers and say, thank God, man. Like, you were the only ones to say
they're waiting for someone to do it.
You're the only ones who had the coconuts to say the king is naked.
Mm.
Instead of just blindly falling in line, oh, you're next up. Let me write that blank check, even though this could screw me for the next 5 to 10 years.
Right. And this could be the detriment of our team, that we're not getting any playoffs. This can be that we're just going to be competing. And the 49ers right now, you could see that they're not a team that is even going to compete. If you hamstring yourself and you put that type of money, that type of investment into the quarterback, and you see what Philly, and you look at around the NFC, you look at the Commanders, and you look around, you look at Green Bay, one of the youngest teams in football, how are you going to compete with these teams the next 3 to 4 years? If you just think you have the quarterback, can you compete with the rest of the NFC? That's the $60, $70 million question that the Niners need to be asking themselves. If you do this, are you going to be able to compete with the rest of the NFC?
You know, a lot of people talk about windows and windows closing on the San Francisco 49ers. And, you know, I understand it, that we, as whatever it is that we do in the media and fans, you want to point a finger. It's just sort of what we do as fans. It's like, it's his fault. It's your fault. But really, I sort of take a different road in all of this, a different perspective. I think when it comes to the 49ers, you knock on heaven's gate that many times. You go to a Super Bowl and you lose. Mm. You go to NFC championship games and you lose. This is going on 5 years. After a while, man, the air just leaves the room. And I just don't know, and you would know this better than anybody, I just don't know if the energy was there anymore. Like, to me, I go big picture on this. Yeah, we could talk about offensive line. We can get into the granular facts about Brock Purdy and what he does and doesn't do, and Deebo Samuel. But really, at the end of the day, this was something that everybody thought about. We talked about a hangover, and this is exactly what's played out. It's like, you could just sense the emotion after they lost that game to Kansas City. I remember saying to myself, like, how the hell is this team going to get ready to play football in a couple of months? Mm-hmm. And guess what? I don't think they ever recovered.
No, it looks like they didn't. They got knocked out and they never got off the canvas. They've been trying to get up off the canvas, and every time they get up, they get knocked back down. Kansas City's on the phone, though. They're finding a way. They're knocked down, but they're getting up and they're answering the bell. They're probably one of the best teams we've seen, but only won by winning by a point, single digits, in the history of the NFL.
Are you buying, Casey?
No, I'm not. I mean, but guess what? I'm not, but I should. I'm not, but I should, because all they do is win.
Yeah.
We can say we're not buying them. Who they lose to this year? Just the Bills? Everyone you lined up and played against them, they found a way. Even though it's been ugly, even though it hasn't looked like the Chiefs of old, they're finding a way to win. So we shouldn't bet against them. We should not bet against them, even though these games have been very, very ugly and they're finding a way. And that's what with the Niners. You know what? People didn't want to bet against them. Everyone said they're going to get it right. I knew before they played, after the game that I said they were done, it was like week 4 when they played the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona took that ball down with like 5 minutes left. The Niners were up by 2. and Arizona took the ball from the 18-yard line and drove it 81 yards and scored, I said, they're not getting in. I said this team was done. People, you're going hard. It's only week 4 or 5. I knew then that it was done. I could tell that someone played against Dallas, just looking at this team, it didn't have it. They just don't have it. And like you said, it said hangover. You can't get off the mat. And that's the question, the $70 million question or the $60 million question, is paying a guy going to get you off the canvas? Is that the one thing you have to do in order to make your team relevant again? Is that enough? And I think he's a big part of it, because I think he's going to make you compete. I think his leadership and the way that he demands respect, the way that this guy goes out and play, he is a key ingredient for the San Francisco 49ers' success. The biggest question, though, is that enough that's going to get them back to the glory days and get them back in the playoffs?
So were you with those Charger Schottenheimer teams with Antonio Gates and obviously LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yeah.
Because those were – that was the team that was supposed to come out of the AFC every year.
Oh, my goodness.
My question to you is, like, there's a similarity with what the 49ers are dealing with and sort of your experience being handpicked as the team that's going to win the sexy pick to get to the Super Bowl and it not happening. I mean, what was that like emotionally?
It killed you. Emotionally, I still think about it. I mean, and I got this.
Man, you guys had some boys.
Oh, we had the boys. When I got there, left Cincinnati, went to the Chargers. I think we went 4-12 that first year. Junior just left. Junior went to Miami. So we went 4-12, and it was like, God. But because I left Cincinnati, but I saw LT. I was a free agent. I was like, man, this team is going to be on the rise. I go there. We only win 4 games that year. That's when Drew's already was there for 2 years. Then they bring in Philip. That following year, we win 12 games.
Yeah.
We just started hammering. The next year, 13. Everyone's picking us. We went 14. We just, every year right there, number one seed, always had things going our way. We beat friggin' the Indianapolis Colts when they were 13-0. We gave them their first loss, went to Indy and beat them on the road. And we were the team to beat. But like you said, you get in those places, you've that complacency, you think that, okay, we deserve this, it's ours, and we're going to find a way. And we lost to the Jets. Nate Caton couldn't buy a field goal. And then we had McCree. We're beating the Patriots. He intercepts the ball, 4 minutes left. All he has to do is fall on the ground. He tries to run it back.
God, that hurt.
It just fall down and it's over. So yeah, you get to those points and then the next year, like, here we go again. And it's crazy. You have that thing over your head. You're like, man, how can we get this monkey off our back? And
are you expecting, you know, you always hear about it creeps in the back of your head that you're expecting things to go wrong.
Yeah. You start to, especially if you make it close. That's the thing. Especially if you let a team hang around that has no business. We played the Jets. They had no business hanging out with it. When you let a team hang around with you, and let them stick around, and that you start letting them build confidence, because you're supposed to be the big bad boy.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to the Niners this year. They usually had that knockout punch. They were the big bad boys. When the Niners come to town, come rolling in, once they got up on you, double digits, you just, you know, you shrunk and you just cower down and say, let it begin. And no, people stood up, they start fighting back, and now the Niners, they begin to switch. It's different when you're the hunted. And then they've been the hunter.
Yeah, that 2006-2007 season, you guys lost twice during the regular season.
Dude, we were just machines.
And
we
lost to the Patriots. Oh, wow, that hurts.
Yes, intercept. Dude, we were just – and you're right. And the Niners, they have been the cream of the crop. And it's going to be interesting how they come back this next year. And you want Purdy to come back on this team. You want him to be a part of that. I know we're talking about, you know, Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold's had a hell of a comeback. He's been, you know, writing the story. And kudos to him. Yeah, but you want Purdy to finish this thing. You want it to be Purdy. You just want it to work for this team. And I don't think it's the hate. It's not animosity. It's saying, hey, look, we want this team to make sure they can afford a Greenlaw. We want to make sure this team can bring back the players and the individuals you need that's going to make you compete for a Super Bowl or compete to get the NFC Championship game. Because right now, if you look at the rest of the NFC, you're in trouble. it's not just a quarterback that's going to get you there. It's going to take a lot more because Green Bay, Detroit, you look at
look at your own division, the Rams.
The Commanders, the Rams. The Rams are one of the youngest teams. You take Stafford off the off that roster, they're probably the youngest team in the NFL. So you think about where the Rams are. Look at Seattle, the way that they're playing. You're the worst right now this year. The Niners are going to finish last in the conference.
Yeah, who would have thought? The beginning of the season, the 49ers were the odds-on favorite, clearly, to come out of the NFC. Maybe them and Philadelphia, Green Bay. Some people thought Detroit would be good. But San Francisco has had a tough go of it, part of which is attributed to injuries. But before we get to the break, you know, we talked about their banged-up offensive line. Isn't everybody hurting right now? Miami was, I want to say, their starting left tackle.
Yeah.
And their starting right tackle were both out. Like, everybody's decimated. So, yes, you cannot assess the 49ers without mentioning no Brandon Ayuk. Obviously, you don't have Christian McCaffrey. I mean, it's a real thing. But also, I think you have to keep in mind, especially when you watch that game against Miami, everybody's hurting this time of year.
Oh, no question. You have so many injuries around the National Football League, but you find a way. You look at, I mean, think about it. If when this team is humming, you freaking got great players, you know, that can get things done. But you look at Detroit. You lost Hutchinson, who's a great player. You know, if think about the Niners would have lost Bosa, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago when they're trying to make that Super Bowl. Do they get that far? Does that defense hold it down? Because if he got injured in that particular time, you look at Detroit. They had their main pass rusher go down for the remainder of the year, and they had like six or seven guys go down, and look at the way that they fought. Look at the way that they stayed relevant with that many injuries. They still found a way. That's what the Niners haven't done.
All right, we'll continue to talk about it. I want to switch gears to Deebo Samuel, and then we'll move off on the 49ers, and we'll get into whatever. But just Deebo, I'm going to hand it to my man Lorenzo Neal, make him the general manager. Do you bring him back or do you not? Where are you at with Deebo Samuel when we continue on 95.7 The Game?